fighting for America.
It's going to be in Cleveland in 2016. The Republican National Committee has chosen Cleveland.
It's not the place you come to sleep. I tell you what, how comfortable is that? Probably won't have any neck problems tomorrow.
Fighting for Idaho.
I kept thinking that you just need to change your slogan at the beginning of your show. Instead of if it's Sunday, it's Meet the Press, it should be if it's Sunday, it's another administration official making stuff up and Meet the Press.
Fighting for you.
People are sleeping while they drive.
Right, but you see, you should have come out with this. Now we've got to go, and you're giving us the best stuff.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the morning.
I'm sorry.
On 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. Thank you all for joining us. Very honored, very humbled, very privileged to have our great friend, the young lion of talk radio, conservative talk radio, Bill LeMay from North Carolina. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Kevin Miller. It's an honor to be on your program. Thank you for thinking of me.
You know, it's tough to get you. We've been trying to get you for like 27 years, and you're just tough to book anymore.
It's been kind of busy for me. I apologize. You know how much I love to come on your show. So,
well, you know,
we go way back, my friend.
We only get the big stars here, so thank you for joining us.
Oh, that's very kind.
You know, every time I think of the border, I think of your experience on the border, and I know you're covering it in North Carolina and for every other outlet that you're working for, but let's talk a little bit about your thoughts on the border right now, based on your firsthand experience of going down there, of riding with the Border Patrol. I think everything seems a lot more civilized then compared to what we're seeing now.
Oh, I think so. And in fact, you know, we were down in Brownsville and McAllen in that area. So I'm familiar with what's going, you know, the territory. And it just, even at that time, you had a lot of folks flowing across the border. In fact, they have been elected to the school board. They've been elected to county, you know, positions and local elections. And every now and then in that area, they would turn up another illegal alien holding a position, elected office position. So it is more normal for them. But I remember, Kevin, when I was down in the border, I had an opportunity to go to one of the ranches there, and he was like the Marlboro man, the guy that, you know, as cowboy as you could get, and, you know, his calloused hands with the cigarette, and he's talking with his family in the kitchen, and his tears are rolling down his face, and he says, I just don't understand why my country won't protect my family. And this was, what, 2005-ish or so? It's almost been 9-10 years, and look how far we've come. There is no border security at this point. It was the potential of terrorists and MS-13 and drug cartel and all of the bad people that are coming across the border right now. The Border Patrol is virtually changing diapers, taking care of kids, which in itself is a very sad thing to say or see. And you would hope that our government would want to do something about that. But clearly, that is not the case.
Now, you've been to Iraq twice. You've been to the border once. Which was scarier?
Well, for personal safety, it was Iraq. But you could tell by talking to the American citizens that are on the border, the terrain is very rugged. I mean, it's the plants there hurt you. Every plant that grows in that area has some kind of thorn. So it's a very rugged territory, and you're pretty isolated as a farmer. So as a family, especially in the nighttime, where you really have no access to any kind of law enforcement, you'll call the Border Patrol. It may take an hour or two for them to show up at your place. You're really on your own. And based on what we're hearing from the border today, these ranchers are now facing the cartel on a daily basis, who are basically saying you better look the other way. And, in fact, they're beginning to bribe the ranchers down there, and the ranchers are kind of caught in between, oh, what is it that I'm supposed to do? You know, they put their family first. But we don't have the feeling, you don't have a feeling like that in where you live, Kevin, or where I live, where you really fear for your family's life on a daily basis, and you expect your police, your Border Patrol, your country to protect you. I mean, that is one of the very few things government is supposed to do, and they are failing miserably. Isn't it interesting how politicians today seem to view this whole immigration issue through the eyes of people who are breaking the law, and for whatever reason, they can't look from the victim's point of view, which is, in this case will be every American citizen. This is going to be very costly.
Well, and it's bipartisan malpractice. The Republicans keep saying we need to appeal to the folks, and the Democrats keep telling the Republicans they need to appeal to the folks, and they're lawbreakers. Bill LeMay with us here, 580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. You know, we take a look at Look at your state, North Carolina. Look at Bank of America. I remember when you and I were working together and Bank of America came out in the paper with mortgage applications, mortgage programs for illegal aliens.
Yes, and they were accepting the matricular consulate card, which is, by the way, not accepted in Mexico for opening up bank accounts. We called it the Bank of Amigo up here. In North Carolina, we're a destination state for illegal aliens. We have a huge population here. It's not unusual to be at a gas station in Walmart or virtually any place and really be among non-English-speaking people in North Carolina. And this is going to begin to happen all over the country. It's amazing how people will cater to this group, and I understand it. It's money, but you know, you made a very important point, and this is where Republicans, people who support Republicans, had better come to this realization that they are abetting this criminal activity. They are no less guilty than Barack Obama and the Democrats, because many of these Republicans, including our very own Congresswoman here, are on board with comprehensive immigration reform. And they, as you say, they talk a good game, but I think it's clearly they're complicit in this. No one wants to stop what's happening at the border today. The Republicans do not, and the Democrats do not.
Bill LeMay with us, Kay Milley in the morning, 580 KIDO, our great friend. Let's get back to your situation on the border. And I remember when you wanted to go there, and we figured out how to do that, and then you went down there and you talked to the folks. What was it like for you looking at the river there and watching these people swim across with the Border Patrol watching you? What was it like to go on patrol with the Border Patrol?
Well, I'll tell you what, the Border Patrol, there's one man in a vehicle that patrols miles and miles and miles of the border. And he's literally out there on his own. And as you patrol with the Border Patrol, they're not on the highways. They're on these dirt roads that have been created on private property mainly to get to the border area. They've planted these mines that would detect movement on the border to try to capture them. But the one thing that really stuck out was this Border Patrol agent, as these illegals are coming across the border, he is literally on his own. It takes a lot of time for any kind of backup to get to him. So these are really brave individuals. The border, the river itself, is a recreational river for a lot of folks on the American side and on the Mexican side. You have beaches and picnic areas and parks. It's a fast-moving river, so it's a dangerous river, but you will see illegal aliens using milk cartons as flotation devices. When they get across the border, and the Border Patrol agent showed me this, there are the rape trees that litter the area, and this is usually trees that are where bras and panties are hung, and this is where smugglers will rape women. Also, the amount of garbage, Kevin, is unbelievable. I mean, it's a mound of garbage that is probably 15, 20 feet high, people coming across and discarding what they swam across in the river, the clothing, and then picking up and moving inland, which really isn't that far because a lot of these areas are very, very close to populated areas and they blend in quite quickly. So when we hear that people are being captured on the border, it's a very small percentage of people that are actually captured, and now, under this president, very few are actually deported. In fact, today, did you know this? Here's an interesting stat. There are 1 million illegal aliens in this country that have exhausted their legal options and have been ordered to be deported, and this president does not deport them. 1 million individuals that should not be in this country, and they're here today. So this is going to change the face of our country, and I feel bad for the Border Patrol. They don't have the resources. But this is something that's going to impact everybody in this country. And maybe in your neck of the country, it isn't a big deal. But in North Carolina, it is changing North Carolina. Talked to the governor yesterday about it and asked if the White House had contacted him because they're looking for military bases all across the country to house these kids and illegal aliens. He said, he would resist any effort for the federal government to do that. So we'll see. We'll see. Some Republicans are on board and get it. Unfortunately, the vast majority of politicians, unions, and big business, they're happy to see what's going on right now.
Well, you know, our friend Governor McCrory of North Carolina, former mayor of Charlotte, is not a favorite of Barack Obama's White House for his cutting off the unemployment funds and then all heck breaking loose for Governor McCrory. I'm glad he's doing well. But getting back to this, and we see this here in Idaho as well, and it was kind of interesting to me when we have these destination states. I remember going to McDonald's across the street from the radio station, and no one spoke English.
Right. That's very common here.
And that was 11 years ago.
Yes. In fact, now to get a public job, and in fact, a lot of jobs in North Carolina, in our area, in the Raleigh-Durham area, you have to be bilingual. You have better learn the Spanish language.
You better learn it, Bill LeMay, if you know what's good for you.
Yes. Yes. Well, you know where I'm located in the building, so that is very true. So it's kind of, listen, you know, how often have we talked about this, Kevin? It's not as though we're not a compassionate people. It's not as though that we understand that the immigrants are important, but there's a right way to do it and a wrong way to do it. And right now, there are a lot of people making a lot of money off of people who are committing a crime.
And let's get to this, the heart of the matter. And we're so blessed to have you here, Bill LeMay, at 580KIDO. I was talking to Mrs. Miller, and you haven't met Mrs. Miller yet, and she's very coy when she disagrees with me. But she goes, so you want to send those kids back? And I go, you're damn right I want to send them back. And it's not that, as you said, we don't have compassion. We can't afford to employ American kids, as you have talked about, as Senator Sessions has talked about, as we've talked about here. We can't afford, I mean, it would be like the Miller is moving into the LeMay house, and the LeMay house has to worry about little Spike Dog. We've got to worry about feeding our own people before we feed the world. And look, if we don't send these folks back, there's going to be double or triple of them coming here. It's not that we're not compassionate. It's just that the credit cards ran out.
Well, you're right, Kevin. I mean, there was a study that was done, and primarily the countries that are being represented by these young kids right now, whether they're legal or illegal in our country from that area of Central America, it's usually about 56% of those individuals, once they get to this country, are on some kind of government benefit program. We can't afford it. We really can't. You know, I would be on board with open borders. I really would. And as long as we eliminated all public assistance for everybody and let people come and either succeed or lose on their own. And that's not going to happen. And you're right. We've got a $16 trillion debt that's climbing. All of our welfare social programs are going bust. We don't have the money. And it isn't as though we don't care about these kids. And quite honestly, the liberals who say they do care about them, these kids are making a trip, a very dangerous trip. They're being raped. They're being sold into prostitution. They're being killed along the way. President Obama, the Democrats, the Republicans, the Chamber of Congress, unions could stop this in a heartbeat. All they would have to do is enforce the law. By turning them back, they would actually save the lives of a lot of these kids, and they refuse to do so. And I think to me, that's evil, but it's certainly shameful.
More coming up with our great friend Bill LeMay. We're, again, honored to have him here at 580KIDO. Let's get you to work.
Treasure Valley's exclusive home for Kevin Miller, KIDOAM.com, 580KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
I'm Andy KIDO. Thank you for starting your day with us. K Millie in the morning. Don't forget, coming up, your chance to win tickets. A family of four back to the Les Schwab Tire Motor Fest. Sounds very exciting. Not as exciting as Bill LeMay joining us once again, the rising young lion of talk radio from Raleigh, North Carolina. Always a pleasure to have you on, Bill. So we take a look at your firsthand experience of doing talk shows on the border, talking to the ranchers. You know, if I'm one of these ranchers, I love America, but if the law enforcement, if the government's not going to back me up, and we've got the people that chop people's heads off saying, hey, here's some money, I think I'm going to start looking the other way. I don't really blame them.
No, I don't either. Now, some of these guys have refused the money, but they're kind of caught in a limbo. What do? You know, ultimately, you have to protect your family. When you see a family, and this, you know, was a while back, and there are young kids carrying guns because they don't, you know, they have to work their ranch. They have to get out and do things. And you have, you know, tens, twenties, hundreds of people going through your property, and you don't know who they are. And now it's gotten far worse because the drug cartel and the smugglers are sending the kids over. The Border Patrol is non-existent on the border, and they're coming across, and they're running guns. They're running, their drugs and prostitution, human smuggling. And it's just rampant on the border. I don't know that the American people really fully understand just what's happening there. And, of course, you know, we have politicians that seem, well, and take a look, and I digress a little bit, but look at how they've really been very secretive. The media isn't allowed into these detention facilities. You can't take pictures. You can't interview. The Border Patrol has been told not to speak. If so, they're going to be fired. There's a lot of things going on here. So there's a reason for that. And I think right now it's a political play to try to get people to get on board with comprehensive immigration reform. But I think eventually this will blow back on him. I don't see anything that's going to stop it, though, in the immediate future. So
I think he's just gone hog wild with destroying the country. And he's going to play pool, and he's going to drink beer, and he's going to have a good time, and he's going to vilify it. Now, Bill, you've had to deal with this on the front lines for longer than I have. But you have people that have the uninformed emotional argument that this is what America's about. Give us your poor, your tired, your weak. And I'm going, whoa, whoa, whoa. But there was a legal process for that. They didn't have welfare and all these other programs for the immigrants that came in. You had to work. You were Irish. You were Italian. You were German. You weren't treated to free benefits.
No, you're right. You had Ellis Island. People were screened. Now people aren't being screened for criminal background or in the diseases. And there's a lot of kids especially coming across with a lot of really bad stuff that we haven't seen in a long time. They're not being treated. They're being sent by bus and airplane all across the country. It's going to end up with your kid in school or at the Walmart or wherever, and that's going to be a problem. And you're right. Back in the day, we didn't have all these welfare programs. So you came, you worked, you succeeded, or you didn't. And there was a desire to be an American. They wanted to be an American. It was a tremendous sacrifice. They learned the language, and there was this pride. I think on July 4th, President Obama was at an event where there were some illegal immigrants. It probably took 10 years for them to become American citizens, were being sworn in as citizens. These are individuals. That's the right way to do it. What's happening today on the border and what's been happening now for under Bush and under Obama and Clinton and others is the wrong way to do it. Our public school system kicks out enough unskilled, uneducated kids to try to get a job in this day and age. To have this kind of competition with the American worker is going to drive down wages. And you know what? Businesses like that, I suppose. And when you have a dependent society, politicians like that. But none of it is sustainable.
Let me hit you with this. John McCain yesterday wanted to bring his phone in there, and the rent-a-cop told him no. Where is Congress on this? And, Bill, you and I have never run for Congress, but we love giving them advice. If I'm a congressman, if I'm a senator, I go down there and I dare those SOBs to prevent me from going in. I force them to arrest me, and I elevate the situation. The legislative branch with this administration has been neutered. There's no talk of impeachment. There's talk of John Boehner calling Judge Wapner or Judge Judy.
Yes, yes. You're right. You're absolutely right. Now ask yourself the question, why are they not doing that? These are not stupid people. They come out. They pretend they're kind of angry. They shake their fist. Oh, they have some words. But that's it. If you truly wanted to make a difference here, you would do just that. If you're John McCain or any congressman or senator, they also have, the Republicans own the Congress, they can shut this down in a heartbeat. All they have to do is withhold the funding from this stuff. You can cause real pain in the administration, yet they've elected not to do it. They're just getting around to suing President Obama, knowing that by the time it hits the court, you'll probably be out of office. This is what I have been trying to teach my listening audience, is that we've been on teams for a very long time, and there really is very little difference between Democrats and Republicans on most major issues. And as soon as the American people figure this out, that we are the us and they are the them, it could go a long way in changing things. But I don't see that happening anytime soon. We have our media. We have our politicians. We have a lot of liberals and progressives running our education system. And every generation is just a little more screwed up.
Well, a little bit more tolerant, a little bit more progressive. Boy, this is wonderful to wake up to the truth in the morning. However, getting back to this, I mean, wouldn't you go down? I mean, John McCain's a war hero. He's Captain Amnesty. And you're going to have a guy tell him he can't use his phone? I mean, really, what's next? The Congress has just as much right as the executive, and you want to really make an issue of this, or the guy from Oklahoma. Well, okay, then arrest me. You're telling me I can't go in there? I'm going in. I mean, is it, what, are we all afraid of being on double secret or probation?
Yes. Well, again, you're right. You're absolutely right. He could do that. And there's no way that rent-a-cop would arrest him. And if he did, it would elevate the dialogue in this country and would make a difference. He's not doing it for that very reason. Well, I don't think it in their heads. I don't know why, Kevin.
You're going to love this. The guy goes, well, we don't want the children photographed. Okay, first of all, we're not talking about the creepy guy in your neighborhood. We're talking about a distinguished United States senator that served this military with honor. Number two, they're not really citizens of this country anyway, so I don't know if they're covered under any child privacy laws.
Todd Starnes, I talked to him the other day, and he said, because he has some folks that are leaking information to him, he said, these kids, and this will break your heart, are begging the workers, begging them to just hold them. They really want to go home. So these kids are being used by both sides on the parties here. But, a congressman, a senator, a president, he isn't going down to the border either. There's a reason for that. And the American people have they better ask the question, why won't the president go? Why won't the congressman push the issue? Why won't the senator just demand to – and why won't the media? Why aren't they making noise? Their cameras are being taken away. Their tape recorders are being taken away. They are given photographs by the government, and those are the pictures we see. How bad is it in these facilities? I mean, if we really care about these kids – these would be questions that we would want answers to, but nobody seems to want to force the issue.
Well, Todd Starnes is in the Todd Starnes business. He'll tell you that. You're my expert, Bill LeMay.
Oh, all right. Well, he's in any case, it's sad to see these kids being used.
It is.
And, Mexico recently passed legislation. They have a very strict immigration policy down there that allows the folks to travel through Mexico without any kind of a hassle from the Mexican government. So, this is an orchestrated thing. And it comes on the heels of the Mexican government holding this Marine now for, what, 3 months, 4 months?
You know, Bill LeMay, it's out of a Tom Clancy novel. Now, you've lectured me that you have to get out. Now you want to stay. You're just giving us too much information to let you go here.
I'm sorry, but I do have to go.
Yes, really... see, that's the story of my life. But I really, again, old friend, I'm so proud of you. I really appreciate you giving us time. I know you got a lot to do, so thank you.
Thank you, Kevin. It's always an honor, my friend. Talk to you soon.
All right, Bill LeMay. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Our great friend Bill LeMay, 633. Coming up next, more on the border. But how about this? Here's two interesting local stories.
Here's two interesting local stories for your edification here this morning at 580 KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
Number one, you remember the we'll tell you about the sentencing, if you haven't heard about this, of the guy that I don't know if it's alleged anymore. Well, no, I think he used that in his plea deal that went wild in Meridian last year. Remember that? He really did damage to a kid, kicked a dog, harmed a firefighter in Nampa. We'll tell you about his sentencing, number one. And number two, Body Renew gives everybody the boot. Does anybody keep their word anymore when it comes to business? Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO.
That's you talking.
Also, danke.
Kuhschreiber.
Dr. Wurde, danke.
Krankenwagen. Naturwissenschaften.
Kevin Miller in the morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Well, there you go. I have a bias. It's going to be Germany versus Argentina for the World Cup final. Yeah, no, I'm not turning into a soccer person, but nobody beats the Germans. And then it was funny on Facebook, I don't know if this is politically incorrect or what. Yeah, Phil Hardy going, yeah, the Germans are beating Brazil like they did like it's 1939 in Poland. And I'm going, ouch. And then somebody else on Facebook posting, yes, the Germans are undefeated except for 1918 and 1945. Those rascally historical references. Joining us now, Jennifer Kuiper, Fox News Radio. And Jennifer, before we get started here, we're going to miss you, and congratulations on going back to WLS.
Oh, thank you very much. It's a station I was a news director at, and I'm going to go back and do some anchoring. So
we followed you there. We'll follow you again. And we just wanted to say we appreciate you and all your great reports. And obviously we'll get to the topic because you're very focused with me. I know that. But sometimes we never tell people that we appreciate them, and I wanted to make sure that we did that.
Oh, well, thank you so much, and thanks for having us. And Fox has been great, and you guys are lucky because it's a network that cares enough to have a Midwest correspondent, and they understand that what comes out of the Beltway affects us here in the middle of the country's midsection, and some other networkers don't do that. So it's been a pleasure to do this because I get to talk about real people.
Well, and they're not more real than the Midwest. Now, before we get to the topic here, you'll so adroitly segue into this, but all your years in Chicago, could you ever believe that you have this candidate, a community organizer, state senator, a senator, the president? I mean, you've had the unique ability to monitor the rise of President Obama.
Right. I mean, when he was a senator, I mean, I would march in parades with him alongside him and ask some questions. And then all of a sudden, when it was announced who the possible contenders were for that first election, they said Barack Obama, and I looked around. I'm like, you mean our Barack Obama, the guy who just got into office? So it was kind of a surprise for a lot of us that he was such a newbie, and then look at where he ended up. So, politics is a strange world. So sometimes it's a whole other world, and so nothing, I guess, should surprise me at this point.
Well, it's kind of neat though that you have that unique local perspective that. When all the Nationals came, you had such background on him. And speaking of perspective, you have to wonder how the midterms are shaping up.
Well, right now what we're looking at is something that people who support were hoping would get done before the midterms. Maybe it would give some people a boost who were maybe in tight races. But what we're looking at here is the Keystone XL pipeline, and that's the pipeline that would carry oil from Alberta, Canada, to Steel City, Nebraska, and then it would connect with an existing almost 500-mile stretch from Oklahoma to the Texas Gulf Coast. You have supporters who say, listen, this is a job creator. We need this. And that would be something that supporters who might be in a dicey race could take on the campaign trail with them. But they're not going to be able to do that because it's being held up, and it doesn't look like anything will get done before the midterms. So you have, on the other side, environmentalists who say, listen, this is something that's running through the American wilderness, through very sensitive areas, could create problems if there's some kind of a leak, that kind of thing. And what we're looking at here is that some landowners in Nebraska, not happy with this, and they're not happy with the possibility of, eminent domain being used in order to build this thing. So they've taken TransCanada and they're also challenging the state in court. And the Nebraska Supreme Court is taking a look at this, but not expected to hear oral arguments until September. And if you're not hearing anything until September, the earliest that we could possibly expect some kind of a decision on this would be October. And again, that's at the earliest, so most likely after that. And then you're looking at the midterm elections. So it's just too tight of a timeline to get anything done before those elections.
No, I would agree with you on that. It just it seems to me that the Canadians can always go elsewhere, whether they decide to take their ball and bat and go to China or wherever else.
They could, but they've put a lot into this. They did have one other setback earlier this month, too. There was some kind of a certificate in South Dakota that lapsed, so they have to take care of that, too. But I think they've put a lot into this, and this would be pretty convenient to them because of the contiguous situation. But, it's something that just has not gone quickly at all. And the State Department put off a decision until the issue in Nebraska is resolved. So there are various pieces here, and it's just not moving quickly, that's for sure.
Jennifer, final thought for you, and hopefully we'll get you on before you go, but just because we love talk radio and such and news radio, the difference between covering something locally and what you've been doing regionally and nationally?
Well, I get to, on the local level, talk about the players a little more intimately. And I'll give you an example, Rod Blagojevich.
Mm.
There are names in that case that I could have mentioned on the local level that I just wouldn't mention on the national because they're just it just wouldn't translate. So you get to do that. But on the national level, you get to talk about some things that you never would touch on the local level. Keystone XL Pipeline might be mentioned a couple of times in a year, but here it'd be mentioned on the national level much more. So it's more of a, even though, you know, it could mean more jobs and it could mean, you know, in Chicago that some Chicago folks might go out to Nebraska or anywhere along that pipeline to work, you'd probably do the story closer to when things were moving again. But now on the national level, I get to talk about things like this, like how it's tied up in the courts.
And who would have ever thought Cleveland would get the convention?
Well, you know, people laugh at me when I say this. I actually spent a long weekend in Cleveland last year, last summer, because I cover stories so much there that I thought I would really like to just go and be a tourist. And it's only 6 hours from Chicago, so I got in the car, I drove there, and I spent 4 days there. And they have the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, which was fantastic. They have right next to it a science museum. They have, you'll remember this, the house from A Christmas Story.
Right.
They redid that whole block, and I mean, they have it's all focused around that, and they have a neat terminal market where you can go in. They have all different kinds of foods, and so we always hear about the bad stuff, like the Ariel Castros and the Anthony Sowell stories, but it is a story that a city that really has built itself up along that lakefront.
Right. It'll be interesting, considering the unions and the Cuyahoga County with all the Dems there. It'll be.
But I think they're going to get some Republicans out of Western Pennsylvania, and you know, and then of course you know you have folks in Indiana who are not too far away and a little further south. So I think as far as location, it might be a little cheaper for some to get there than go all the way down to Dallas. But Dallas is not off the hook. They have been told that they might get a call if this doesn't work out with Cleveland. Although, you know, I think it will.
Jennifer Kuiper, until we talk again, and again, congratulations.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
All right, our great friend Jennifer Kuiper with us. Kevin Miller in the morning, 6:48. Like I said, Jennifer will be leaving Fox News Radio, going back to WLS in Chicago, one of the most legendary stations in the country. And my personal thing is when people move on or whatever, we always just congratulate them and we thank her. She's been a great part of our program, and we'll hopefully talk to her again. Let's get you to work safely.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, K. Miller with you. Kevin Miller in the morning. All right, why don't we give away a family four-pack now to the Les Schwab Tire Motor Fest. See if you're up and away. Caller 10 at 580-5436. 580-5436. You're going to win a family four-pack to the Motor Fest. That's this weekend, and very exciting stuff here. When you're thinking if you're into cars or Hot Shots or any of those things, and remember you've got Bumblebee from the Transformers and The Dark Knight. So if you're into cars, there you have it. Now, actions require consequences, do they not? Remember the story that happened last year, almost a year ago, where you had 23-year-old Sean Carnell of Meridian, who all of a sudden just went on this wild rampage. Now, we're used to hearing about wild rampages in Seattle or Portland or Pocatello. Well, not really Pocatello, but you know what I'm talking about. He just went crazy. Remember that? Apparently, according to published reports, he went on this bath salt fueled rage, choking and punching a woman who once confronted him about his drug use. And his friends called the Tweakers. Remember, it was 90 minutes where he assaulted a grandmother, threw a man out of a wheelchair, beat up a construction worker with a shovel. What did he remember? He grabbed a kid's skateboard. I think he kicked the kid, kicked the dog, used the skateboard to bash the face of Nampa Fire Department Captain Chris Cade, who we had on this program. According to the prosecutor, he had no human empathy that told him to stop. Also, you have the description that he approached a woman's 3-year-old granddaughter with a Bible in his hand and coaxed her to go inside the house before he grabbed the girl's grandmother by the throat, shoving her to the ground, and punching her repeatedly. And it goes on and on, these court records here that we've gotten a hold of. So what would be the effective punishment? Now, remember, his mom's in the courtroom. He's in the courtroom. He's crying. And he could get 30 years. And we are such a forgiving society, whether it's America or Idaho. And you think to yourself, man, 30 years. Well, our good friend Judge Greenwood, and we need to get back on the good side of Judge Greenwood, he got, what, 15 years yesterday, Sean Parnell? 15 years. And coming up in about an hour, we'll take a look at the sentencing of this. Okay, you grab a grandmother by the throat, you push a guy out of a wheelchair, you beat up a dog, you push a kid, you almost physically hurt someone, so much so that they can never recover. Is 15 years enough when we're talking about Mr. Parnell? And speaking of responsibility, man, whatever happened to keeping your word? Oh, I know in the age of Enron and other things, nobody keeps their word anymore, but to the, what was it, 6,000 down from 8,000 people that got ripped off by Body Renew? Oh, they didn't get ripped off! Well, what happens when you pay your bill, and whether it's a gym, whether it's something else, and they continue to charge your cards when they know they're going down? I mean, does anybody buy the fact that they didn't know they were in trouble? I know, because I belong to Body Renew or Renew Body or whatever the heck it is. So we'll talk a little bit about that coming up as well. 6:58, Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. I like. All right, coming up next, colleges. Shouldn't you be able to practice the First Amendment? I mean, can't you speak freely in college? Well, there's an issue at Boise State. We'll get to the details behind a lawsuit next. Kevin Miller.